Ace Podcast.
Coming up on this episode, factory that made Samsung Galaxy Note 7 batteries. See this coming?
Oh boy.
Catches fire.
Whoa, the irony.
It happened Saturday afternoon around 3 on Talbert Lane in Moundsville.
Oh, Moundsville. You know where Moundsville is, don't you?
Where?
It's right next to Almond Joyville.
I've got nothing to say to you.
That's not my meth.
I don't know anything about the meth.
Someone left it in my car. All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on, 5, 4, 3.
Hello, welcome to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. My name's Aaron.
And I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you live from Lee Berry Studios. Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone is the podcast that brings you the best in weird news and strange stories and all kind of goofiness. And we do it twice a week, Craig.
And we are so glad you are here to listen.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
You
got top story?
I just like to say you.
You, dear listener.
Yeah, top story.
Top story.
Factory that made Samsung Galaxy Note 7 batteries. See this coming?
Oh, boy.
Catches fire.
Whoa, the irony.
Yeah, it sounds like something straight out of The Onion, but it's true. A factory in China that manufactured batteries for the now defunct Samsung Galaxy Note 7 line of phones all recalled, if you will recall, they were recalled for their tendency to burst into flames.
Yes.
But anyway.
Especially on airplanes.
The factory has suffered a fire this morning.
That's amazing.
It wasn't this morning, but you know.
Yeah, whenever.
As Bloomberg reports, a fire broke out this morning at a plant for Samsung SDI Co.
In
somewhere in China. I won't try to pronounce.
Tianjin.
Samsung SDI was indeed one of the two battery suppliers for the Galaxy Note 7. They just can't catch a break.
I don't want to be around any of those batteries.
And remind me to tell you the battery story in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
A spokesman for the company told Bloomberg that the minor fire
sure
did not affect production, and the fire actually occurred at a waste depository and not at a production facility. Well, the story seems to be changing a little bit. Meanwhile, a Forbes contributor gathered photos of the fire from Chinese social media site Weibo, showing plumes of black smoke billowing into the sky from behind a screen of trees.
Why they got a screen there?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a tree would work really well.
It doesn't.
Anyway.
Couldn't see through it.
Tech site Digital Trends notes that fires at electronic manufacturing facilities are not exactly uncommon, pointing to a 2011 explosion at a Foxconn plant in China, a 2014 fire at a circuit board plant in South Korea, and a 2016 fire at a different Foxconn plant elsewhere in China. And yet somehow it all feels very fitting in an absurdist sort of way.
It's ironic is what it is.
You know, these batteries, battery story real fast is, you know, I was changing out a battery for a friend's phone.
Yeah.
And you live and learn, right?
Right.
And these batteries are very volatile, mm-hmm. and that's why they catch on fire. So really, to be fair to all these different manufacturers, these batteries, this technology is just crazy. It's the nutty one in the group. And I accidentally breached the battery with a metal blade. I actually stabbed the battery. Boy, I'm telling you, just poof. Like it,
smoke?
Smoke and a popping noise.
Uh-oh.
And it didn't hurt the phone because I already had it unplugged.
Good.
And actually, my friend, we won't mention her name.
Yep.
Cassandra, who listens to the show.
Good.
It's her phone. I already had it unplugged. I mean, I was smart enough to unplug it from the circuit board. Not always smart enough to do things right.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't smart enough not to breach it with a blade.
Yeah.
But I learned really quick that day, use plastic tools when you're doing this.
Because
I was trying to cut the glue underneath it, and I cut the battery. And so my point being that these batteries are just asking, you look at them funny, they're ready for a fight.
Well, let me put this on this story. There was another story on the news this week about an iPhone exploding. Did you see that by any chance?
Not really, I don't know.
Here's what my problem is. Anytime something like this happens where Samsung or another company has issues, it seems that their biggest competitor will have the same issue hit the news. I think it's a conspiracy.
I don't know. You think that the moon landing was...
I have never seen an Apple product malfunction dangerously like that.
It has happened, and as an Apple person, as I have iPhones, I will admit it has happened, but it's really not a brand problem. It's a technology problem. Right? Take that to the bank, mister.
Okay. Hey, Craig.
Huh?
We've got a Two Madam update.
Okay.
You know what Two Madam is?
Two middle-aged dudes in a microphone.
That's right. We got a Two Madam update.
You're the only madam in this group.
You remember last...
Oh, that had to leave a mark.
Wow.
Okay.
It actually zoomed by until you brought it back, and I caught it.
I know. I was going to make sure it made an impact.
So you remember, a few episodes back, we had the story about the cockroach on the brain running across...
Right.
It's creepy stuff. Well, here, we're back in China.
I saw this video.
Doctor removes cockroach from deep inside a man's ear.
And I want to say, that video was disappointing.
The ear one?
The video I saw... Yeah, going in the ear.
Yeah.
The video I saw... was either was seriously edited or whatever. They never really got to where you saw the scope go in and saw the thing crawling around.
Ugh.
It just, next thing I saw was just it lying on a tray or something.
Headline is, oh, I just did that.
You can do it again.
A doctor in China removed a cockroach that crawled deep into a man's ear and remained stuck inside his head for 3 days.
That happened in the Nashville area. There was a show, Vanderbilt was featured on one of these ER shows, and they show patients coming in, what happens in the ER, and this girl came in and had a cockroach down deep in her ear.
Oh gosh.
And one of the main head surgeons there actually fished it out with some little tweezer things.
That makes me sick. I hate cockroaches. They're creepy little animals.
They're just gross. They're not animals. They're disgusting little filthy little creatures. Yeah.
A video filmed Friday at a hospital in Chengdu, Shikong province shows the doctor removing the dead roach from deep inside of the man's ear.
Well, he wasn't hurting anything. He was just sitting there.
The man said the cockroach had apparently crawled into his ear while he was sleeping. That seems to be the key, because the last time it crawled in her nose while she was sleeping. So we can't sleep, Craig. If you see a cockroach, don't sleep. That's the key.
Right.
Okay. He said he sprayed insecticide into his ear. That's probably not a good idea, which was effective in killing the roach, but he was unable to get the dead insect
out.
Now,
I was told...
And now he picks up radio stations from across the country.
Right. I was told by a medical professional, and I'm going to put a disclaimer at the beginning of this because I'm not a medical professional.
You're not a doctor?
I was told that earwax is a natural insecticide.
Seriously?
That's why the earwax, they don't want it. That's what I was told, and anybody who wants to look it up, please correct... I'm not saying I said that.
Interesting and gross.
A medical professional told me this, and I'd never heard that before. But think about it. How awesome would that be?
I never find bugs in my ears.
Because you've got disgusting ears full of earwax.
The man said the roach had been inside his head for about 3 days before he sought help from the doctor, who only needed about a minute to remove it.
Hey, buddy, got a minute?
The incident came after a woman in India underwent surgery to remove a live cockroach that crawled up her nostril while she was sleeping and took up residence in her nasal cavity near her brain, which we covered here on Two Madam.
Now, I'm this is just me talking, okay?
Yeah.
But I don't know, but it... I wonder if it's a situation like when you people in unfortunate living environments have a lot of rats and they get bitten by rats. Children being bitten by rats and stuff. Is it possible that to get a cockroach in your ear or your nose or whatever, that you're living in a very unstable environment, not a very good environment? Because I don't typically have cockroaches crawling up my nose or in my ear. But tonight it'll probably happen now that I said that. Instant karma. All right, you like sour cream?
Love it.
I like sour cream. Don't like sour milk.
No.
Why do we like sour cream but not sour milk?
I like sour gummies.
Oh, because one makes you vomit.
Exactly.
Oh, different kind of sour. I like sour gummies.
Yeah.
Sour Patch Kids.
Yes.
Sour worms.
Nope.
No, the candy worms.
Nope.
It's the same as Sour Patch Kids.
No, it's not.
It's just in worm form.
They're too long.
Anyway, this is about a food fight, not about your taste in candies.
Okay.
Food fight leaves man covered in sour cream and two people arrested. You ever been in a food fight?
Yes, I have.
I've never been in a food fight. Deputies say a food fight ends with a Marshall County couple arrested. It happened Saturday afternoon around 3 on Talbert Lane in Moundsville.
Oh, Moundsville. You know where Moundsville is, don't you?
Where?
It's right next to Almond Joyville.
According to a criminal complaint, the Marshall County Sheriff's Department responded to a call where a couple was barricaded and fighting inside their mobile home.
Oh, there you go.
The report says deputies forced their way inside and found a man covered in sour cream.
They said, hey, anybody got a potato? You got some chili handy?
Dude, I got hit with something.
I hate to waste all this stuff.
Officers say the fight started after the alleged victim threw mayonnaise across the room, damaging a window. Patty Jane Burdett.
Yes, you know Patty.
That just sounds like the name that would go with the story, doesn't
it? Does.
Patty Jane threw numerous food items at her son.
Uh-oh.
Her son.
It's terrible.
Hitting him and busting his lip open.
Right after he
said. She's the mother of the year award.
Right after he said, Mom, I'm hungry.
You're right. The victim's stepfather, Harvey Burdett, is also accused of punching his stepson.
Oh, gosh. This poor kid.
Patty Burdett is charged with domestic battery. Harvey Burdett was charged with felony domestic assault. Both are free on bond.
And their son is still hungry. So what we have here is Patty Jane and Harvey beating up on their kid, who all he wanted was a sandwich.
Probably.
How'd you like to be covered in sour cream? That sounds gross. I like sour cream.
If they don't want to feed him, why would they want to waste their sour cream and mayonnaise on him?
Let's stick with the food theme again, shall we?
How about it?
You like Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
I don't think I've ever had them.
Would you buy one for $100,000?
No.
Headline is...
I would trade some hot Cheetos for a $100,000 bar.
Someone just bought a Flaming Hot Cheeto that looks just like Harambe for $100,000, Craig. $100,000.
Who's Harambe?
Harambe is the gorilla they had to put down.
Oh, that thing I don't care about.
Yes. Since appearing on eBay, the mystifying Cheeto has shaken many a person to the core and opened the floodgates with a deluge of questions, including these, Craig. Has Harambe's untimely death led him to being reincarnated as a snack? That's okay. One of the questions.
That sounds plausible.
Would the soul of Harambe, which is undoubtedly trapped inside the Cheeto, be transferred to the person who eats said Cheeto? That's another question.
Easy.
And, oh yeah, who in the heck is crazy enough to drop thousands upon thousands of dollars for a single Cheeto, no matter its shape? That's the only question that's worth anything.
There are times during these stories, I just want to commend you for how well you swerve around some words that are in there.
So this post appeared on eBay January 28th of this year, and over the course of 10 days, bids for the Cheeto went from $11.99 to the selling price of $99,900.
I want to know if they paid.
A price that doesn't include the bag the Cheeto was found in.
Well, I'm out, done. Deal's over.
All they get is the Cheeto. The description for the eBay post reads as follows. I opened up a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos, and as soon as I looked inside, I came across this unique Cheetos that look like Harambe, the gorilla. This item is one of a kind. It measures about 1.5 inches in length. The item up for bid is only for this unique Cheetos, not the bag included.
I would sell it for $99.99 like this person did, and I'd hear somebody behind me crunching. I'd turn around, one of my kids would be
like, oh my gosh,
this is good.
This is a little spicy. This makes a great collectible for anyone who appreciates rare items. Baloney. I'm going to go buy a bag of Cheetos. I don't care if they're flaming hot or not, and just see what kind of shapes are in there. I'm going to put them on.
This all started with that stupid Mother Teresa Cinnabon thing or cinnamon bun thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That was in Nashville.
Yeah, and there was Elvis Toast. Remember the Elvis Toast? For those of you without internet connections, Harambe was a gorilla that lived at the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden. In May of last year, a 3-year-old boy climbed into the gorilla enclosure and was grabbed and dragged by Harambe for several minutes as onlookers watched. A zoo worker shot and killed Harambe in what many people have said was an overabundance
of
caution.
Even professionals said that he was even professionals who what's his face? The guy that's been around forever, the zoologist guy. It's always on the talk shows.
Jack
Hanna.
Yeah, Jack Hanna.
He even said, he goes, nah, this. He was going
to
kill him.
Yeah, if that's your kid they're dragging around.
That gorilla was waiting for the moment. He was going to kill it. Yeah.
Now, there is the argument that the parents should have had better control of their child.
They should have saved the kid and throw the parents in.
Yeah, they should have.
That escalated quickly.
Sorry. Could it be that Harambe is back, wreaking revenge on the mere mortal who will spend way too much lucre on his reincarnated snack food soul? That doesn't even make sense, but I read it anyway.
It sounded good.
Oh, we got to play this.
I love that theme.
Me too.
It's so special to me. Taxi driver blames passengers farting. I just paused. And I just did like Christopher Walken again. Taxi driver blames passengers farting. For speeding.
So this guy gets pulled over and he says, sorry, I was speeding. I'm trying to get away from this gas.
I'm trying to get away from the gas behind me here. So taxi driver blames passengers farting for speeding. We've heard of some bizarre excuses for speeding before, but this one may have just topped them all.
Oh, I'll say.
A taxi driver who was stopped by police on Friday decided to blame his speeding on his passengers.
So wait a minute. So he still had him in the car. So he's like, officer, this guy.
It wasn't like he was rushing to get air freshener.
He throws his thumb over his shoulder and says, this guy.
Yeah, this guy.
I've got to
get him
where he's
them.
Going before I suffocate.
Right. And it was not because they were rushing him or talking too loud, but because the passengers were farting too much. Dorset traffic cops had been parked up in Bournemouth.
Up in where?
Bournemouth. Bournemouth town.
Up in there.
When they spotted the speeding driver. When they stopped him, though, the driver thought he'd be able to get away with blaming his 3 passengers for him speeding. In other words, their farting made him do it.
That's funny.
Sharing the hilarious excuse on Facebook, Dorset Traffic Police wrote, just when you thought you've heard it all. It turns out, unsurprisingly, that his excuse didn't work, and he was reported for speeding and will likely have to do speeding course, which is 110 pounds, or take, obviously it's the Brits again.
Right, that's a heavy note.
Or take, I get it.
Yeah.
Or take the 3 penalty points and 100-pound fine.
Wow.
The police say his speed was too much to use discretion.
So they couldn't give him a warning. He was going too fast for a warning, pretty much. What they said. Okay, Craig, we've got a Buddhist monk story. It's a Buddhist monk charged with 4 stashing. Headline is...
How long can we go on with this?
Buddhist monk charged with stashing 4 million meth pills in a monastery.
Ooh.
4 million meth pills. That's a lot of meth.
That's a lot of meth.
This comes
He's made a meth of everything.
This comes to us from Yangon, Myanmar. Is that right? How do you say
Myanmar,
that?
Myanmar. I don't know. Somewhere in Yangon.
A Buddhist monk has been arrested in Myanmar after authorities found more than 4 million methamphetamine pills in his car in his monastery.
Million?
What's a Buddhist monk doing with a car?
But million?
Million. How do you fit that many pills in a car?
400 maybe? 4,000?
Four. Four's too much.
Four.
Yeah,
four
million.
Million?
The monk was stopped Sunday as he drove in northern Rakhine State, which borders Bangladesh. Authorities had been tipped off that the monk was carrying an illegal haul. Somebody told on the monk.
Yeah.
Meng Meng Yin said an anti-drug task force found 400,000 pills in the monk's car. A subsequent search of his monastery turned up another 4.2 million pills.
Who are his customers?
So that's 4.5 million pills.
That's crazy.
Worth upwards of $4 million in street value, along with a grenade and ammunition.
Well, yeah, you need those.
A statement. Yeah, in case the other monks start acting up.
Right.
A statement from the office of Myanmar's leader, State Councilor Aung San Suu Kyi, said that 1 million kyats, $769, in cash was also found in the vehicle. That's how he was supporting all the monks, you know. Myanmar is a major producer of methamphetamine, usually smuggled from northeast to neighboring counties. It's also
countries.
Oh, I'm sorry. It does make a difference. It is also the world's second biggest producer of opium, from which heroin is derived. This is not a normal case, and when we were informed that the monk was arrested, we were all shocked, said Kwa Ma Yang, a township police officer.
And honestly, this is the closest we're getting to these names.
It really is. Asked about the case, the Director General of the Religious Affairs Ministry, So Main Toon, acknowledged some surprise. It's not a very common case, but not impossible to happen. What will happen to the monk is that we will have to give up his monkhood right away and face trial as an ordinary person, he said. Police said they were still questioning the monk on Tuesday, but he refused to speak. Last year.
I've got nothing to say to you.
That's not my meth.
I don't know anything about the meth.
Someone left it in my car. Last year, Myanmar officials seized 21 million methamphetamine pills with a street value around $35.4 million. Near the border of China, in the biggest such seizure in recent memory.
I have a prescription.
These are my mother's pills.
I was just taking them to her.
A friend of mine left them in the back seat.
Hey.
Yeah.
Reported crash of space capsule actually repainted cement mixer.
I could see where someone could confuse the two.
Casa Grande,
yes.
Arizona.
Makes me want a burrito.
Ooh. Drivers in Arizona were looking for lost astronauts. I can see this, though, can't you? You know the big concrete mixer on top
yes.
of the trucks? They were looking for lost astronauts after seeing what they thought was a space capsule in a field.
They are similar, but different.
Yes, exactly the same, only different.
All right.
After receiving numerous 911 calls, the Arizona Department of Public Safety confirmed it was just an art installation.
Aha, somebody's making...
The quote-unquote capsule, they were making what?
They were making art.
Yeah, they were.
I was wondering if Sheila Booth was around anywhere.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, whatever. The capsule is an abandoned cement mixer with a vintage parachute attached to it. Artist Jack Jack Malarkey.
The artist.
Bought the mixer for $200 and spent 2 days transforming it with the permission of the landowners. The cement mixer was abandoned there for 30 years,
good
just
grief.
Rusting in a field, Millard told the Arizona Republic. He painted it to look like the capsule's
astronauts. He painted it.
Yeah, he painted it to look like the capsules astronauts used to return to Earth after space missions. It even fooled former NASA engineer who was among those reporting it to
the
police.
So he's a better artist than I gave him credit for if he fooled a NASA engineer.
You almost seem like you'd have to bury it halfway in the ground somehow.
Maybe he did.
It's got a rounded back on it, right?
It's been there for 30 years, so
it's true. It might just be sunk.
Yeah, it's probably sunk in a little bit. All right, Craig, you ever use Tinder?
Nope.
Because you're a happily married man.
That's right.
I don't use it either. Headline is, man creates Tinder-like dating app where he's the only guy available. Wow.
It's either brilliance.
Insanity?
Or insanity. I'm not sure which one it is.
If you've ever used Tinder, you know going in that the odds are stacked against you. For starters, there's a ton of dudes on Tinder. Not only that, but European scientists recently studied the behavior of Tinder users and found that the majority of women really only swipe right for guys they're actually interested in, while men are much less picky.
True.
They don't even look. They just swipe right.
Okay, so real quick, for those who don't know, and I do know what Tinder is, and that does not mean I use it. It's a basically strangers meet. You look at pictures, and if you like the looks of them, you swipe one way. You swipe the other way if you don't like them, and it gets them out of your face. So you go through, and you're basically like a stack of cards.
Yeah.
And you like those, don't like, and that's okay.
Unless you're a guy, then it's
like.
So if you're looking to Tinder to find a last second date for Valentine's Day, oh, that's already happened. Anyway. You might be out of luck. That is, unless you follow the lead of one genius, Craig, who developed his own Tinder-like dating app where there's only one guy available for women to date. Him.
If that backfired, he'd be busy.
Yes, he would. You know what he named
his app? Not backfired. If he got what he was asking for, he'd be busy.
He named his app Shinder.
Nice.
And it's a brilliant work of entrepreneur, author, producer, designer, motivational speaker, and all-around jokester, Shed Simov. He's also behind such stunts as a book called 50 Shades of Grey, G-R-A-Y, which contains 200 blank pages, except they go from light to dark
so they're
gray.
Actually different shades of gray.
Four pages for every shade as the book goes on. We haven't explored all of his many, many ideas, but it's reasonable to assume that at least four more involved printing books with blank pages. As for the Shinder app tagline, quality, not quantity, it's very real. And the 45-year-old Simov is using it to find love on Valentine's Day, per the Mirror. He's already had more than 100 matches, so I guess so, if he's the only guy on there. I anticipated the scarcity of
potential. So if you're one of his matches, you're on Shinder's list.
Yeah, that's so good. I've anticipated the scarcity of potential matches will create increased demand and with more chances of dating success, he told the Mirror, I'm now a big fish in my very own pond.
He's the only fish. All right. This comes from the land of teenage minds.
Uh-oh. This ought to be good then.
Teen shocked by job interview feedback, mocking her basic answers.
Yes, this is hilarious. I remember this now.
A teenage girl who attended an interview for a waitressing job was shocked by a text message she received moments after the interview telling her application had been unsuccessful.
Well, that's not shocking.
Megan Dixon, 18, was interviewed by assistant manager Chantel Wesson at the Miller and Carter Steak Restaurant in Enderby, Lincolnshire, earlier this week. Shortly after leaving the interview, Ms. Dixon received a message on her phone saying, it's a no. It's a no.
That's not so bad. What's offensive about that? She didn't get it.
I don't know. Let's find out why. Ms. Dixon tweeted a screenshot of the message and contacted the Miller and Carter Twitter account saying her interview was unprepared and her phone was going off throughout the interview. So unprofessional. So the lady interviewing her phone
was
going
off. Yeah, that's
what
she was saying. Yeah.
She later told the Sun. Was it her son? Or
no. She went out in the field and looked up.
Oh, why is this happening to me? She later told the Sun, at the end of the interview, I asked when I would hear back. She told me it was never more than a few days, and she had my email, but I got text a few seconds after leaving. I was shocked. The least she could have given me was some proper feedback.
Yeah.
And the laughing face emoji was so unprofessional. It was really mean. It was really a mean thing to do.
Yes, it was.
A spokesperson for Miller and Carter said, we can't apologize enough to Megan. It was never our intention to be disrespectful or upset her in any way. The texts were sent in error, whatever.
Yeah.
And were intended for our manager, not the candidate. However, we expect our team to act professionally at all times and to give constructive feedback for any interviews via email. We are taking this extremely serious and we'll be investigating to ensure it never happens again. And no, she still can't have the job. I added that part.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're going to be all like, we're sorry.
Yeah, come on, go to work.
Give her a job. Yeah. No.
Not doing it. Send her
no, another. They go. They text like the company. You can give her the job and they just text back a funny face.
Do we have a Bumbling Thieves theme song?
Yeah, pretty much. Dumb Criminal.
Dumb Criminal. Okay, listen.
Thank you.
Headline is, accused TV thieves crash into each other running from cops.
Keystone Cops.
This comes to us from Kannapolis, North Carolina, Craig. Police in Kannapolis arrested two men they say shot up the front of a rent-a-center to steal television before crashing into each other in the store's parking lot while trying to flee.
Gotta love a dumb criminal story.
According to the Kannapolis Police Department, officers responded to a report of shots fired into the rent-a-center on Cannon Boulevard, no pun intended there, around 2 a.m. on Wednesday.
Okay.
When officers arrived, they saw two young men trying to load a TV into a car. Police say the two men then jumped into separate vehicles and crashed into each other in the parking lot.
The Benny Hill theme song.
Yes. Following the collision, police say both men drove away driving the wrong way on South Cannon Boulevard before both were involved in separate crashes. Not only did they run into each other in their cars in the parking lot, they both left and both had accidents. The suspects have been identified as Anthony something and Antonio Davis. Anthony was charged with breaking and entering, felony larceny, possession of a stolen vehicle.
Why do they use the word felonious? Headline is...
Hey, that's me.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Man gets stuck in chimney, arrested for 77th time.
77 arrests? Why is he out on the streets? He should be locked up.
Well, he's not on the streets. He's stuck in a chimney.
Oh, my bad.
According to police in Alexandria, Louisiana, ooh-wee, officers responded to a report.
I guarantee.
Responded to a report of a man stuck in a chimney of a business early Friday morning. Employees told officers that when they arrived at the business, they could hear a man yelling. They found he was stuck.
Help me! Help me!
Help me! Help me! Help me!
Help me!
While officers were en route, police say the man was able to free himself from the chimney. He then reportedly threw a brick at an employee before running from the store.
Good grief.
So wait, you get yourself loose. You got your day's made. You got away.
Yes,
you start throwing bricks at people. Officers were soon able to locate the suspect. Police identified him
from all the soot on him.
Yeah, I guess so. Identified him as 41-year-old Matthew Mobley of Alexandria. Police say this is the 77th time Mobley has been booked into the
Rapids Parish?
Rapides Parish Detention Center. This is Mobley's 77th booking into the detention center. He's facing charges of attempted simple burglary. I don't think it was simple at all.
No.
And aggravated assault. APD officer said in a news release that they did not locate any presence on the scene.
Very funny. I love police humor.
Police humor.
Love
Santa,
it.
Get it? It was Santa
yes.
humor. Your favorite time of year.
No, it's not. It's like quite the opposite.
Oh, it's time for the Flash Chackas Top 10.
Okay.
Okay, top 10 TV shows of 2016.
Oh, I love TV.
Yeah, I don't know any of these. I know the names of a couple of these, but I've not seen them, and all I know is Walking Dead's not on here.
And it shouldn't be. It's a terrible show.
You know what else isn't on here?
What?
Well, first of all, it's a great show. But also what's not on here?
What?
Stranger Things.
How could that
not be on here?
But right. the one show I could comment on, I will when we get there.
Okay, number 10.
Yep.
From Netflix.
Yep.
Love.
Never seen it.
Don't know what that is.
Me either.
Number nine. You can do it?
Yep. Number 9, Speechless. By ABC. Oh, I know that one. That's the young man that's got cerebral palsy in the wheelchair thing.
Don't know what it is.
Looks interesting.
Number 8, Veep on HBO, which I know is Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yep. Never seen it. Number 7, Better Call Saul. One of my top 5 favorite TV shows of all time.
And from everything I've heard, I don't know why it's number 7.
I don't either. It should be number 1 in my opinion.
Number 6, OJ Made in America.
What? I heard good things about that.
I don't know.
That was a 6-part documentary or something. Number 5, Atlanta from the FX channel.
Okay, number 4, Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Really?
Really?
Seriously? Top? That's in the top. That's number 4?
I don't know.
Number 3.
This is a disappointing list.
Yeah,
is this from the group? Is this from the website where people vote
yes,
on?
Yes, yeah.
Stupid people.
This is from the alltop10s.com.
All right.
Number 3, The Americans on FX. Now, I've heard that really is super.
Number 2.
Yep.
The Girlfriend Experience on Stars.
Never even heard of that one. And the number 1 best show of 2016, The People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story.
So what? We live in a world where two O.J. shows are in the top 10 of all TV.
It's ridiculous.
That's either
we're going to find a new website for lists.
That's either a commentary on how bad TV is or how stupid this website is.
Or the people that vote on it. Okay. That's
except for our
it.
Listeners. If you voted and you're one of our listeners,
you're great.
You're great. We love you.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Bye. Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at 2 Middle Age Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.